The message this morning comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. And this is what it says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. Last week we looked at Genesis chapter 1 and talked about the creation of the heavens and the earth by God. The Bible asserts in its opening statement, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Here is the origin of the heavens and the earth. But before they existed, there was God. He exists before and apart from anything else. He stands outside of the creation and independent of the creation. He exists before space, matter, and time. He is the creator of space, matter, and time. The God we are introduced to in Genesis chapter 1 is not someone like us who is part of the creation, who is contained within the creation, and who is limited just like we are by the laws that govern this creation. God exists before the creation, outside of the creation, independent of the creation, apart from the creation. And He is not at all bound by the laws that govern the creation. He is the creator. He is the creator of the laws that govern the creation. God is both transcendent and immanent. He exists outside of the creation and in the creation. He is over and above the creation, outside of the creation, but at the same time, He is present within the creation. He is not aloof and unconcerned, but is involved in the day-to-day, run-of-the-mill course of our lives. God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing in six literal 24-hour days. God created the heavens and the earth mature, fully functional, already in operation when He created all these things. God is pre-existent, eternal, self-existent, immense, and sovereign. God identifies Himself as a plural being. And I said that I think that is the first hint of the Trinity in the Bible. We talked about the days of creation, and we said that on the sixth day, God created man in His own image. And that's where we pick up today. Man created in the image of God. What does it mean that man is created in the image of God? First of all, it means that man is the product of a direct creative act of God. Notice what Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. That describes the special creation of Adam and Eve. There is no way to get evolution out of that. There's no way to reconcile the Genesis account with the modern view of evolution. Recently, it has become popular for people to say, well, there were human-like creatures that existed for millions and millions of years before Adam. And then God came along and breathed a soul into man. And that was what was reflected in Genesis chapter 1. But there's no way to harmonize that view with what the text says. The text doesn't say that there were millions of human-like creatures for millions of years before Adam. And then God came along and breathed life into Adam. It says God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. That's a general statement of the creation of man. And then when chapter 2 elaborates on it, it gives more details about it. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." And later on, it says that Eve was made out of his rib. There's no way that you can find some theory that will allow you to harmonize Genesis teaching with modern teaching about evolution. Man is the product of a direct creative act of God. Secondly, it means that man is distinct among all other created things. God made man in His image, and that means that man is distinct from the animal creation. Man is not just a higher animal. Man is not just the highest animal or the most evolved or the most developed animal. Man is not the human animal as modern anthropologists are accustomed to saying. Man is distinct from the animal creation, and that's seen in the phrase that's used to describe the creation of man. Man's specialness is seen in the very language of Genesis 1:26. If you will look back now in Genesis 1 at verse 3, at verse 6, and at verse 14, in each of those creative acts, as God was bringing into being the world as we know it, He says what? He says, "Let there be. Let there be. Let there be." Then five times in Genesis 1, 24 and 25, we are told that the beasts of the earth are made how? After their kind. After their kind. After their kind. But in Genesis 1, 26, when man is created, you will see not "let there be," you will see the triune God in inter-Trinitarian conference say, "Let us make man in our own image." Man is entirely distinct from the rest of creation. His uniqueness is set forth in that phrase, "We're made in the image of God." And we are entirely unique in God's creation. The animals are described as made after their kind, whereas we are described as made after His image. And so there is the distinction between the animal creation and mankind. As the image bearer of God, man's life is sacred. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, we are taught that man's life is sacred because of the image of God in him. And so man must be treated in such a way. This is stressed in Genesis 9, verse 5 and 6. "Surely I will require your lifeblood. From every beast I will require it, and from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Now this is after the fall of man and after the flood. And in this passage, in Genesis 9, we are told that it is precisely because man is created in God's image that capital punishment is required for capital crimes. Basically, God is saying to Noah that, "I take life so seriously that if you unlawfully take the life of another human being, you must forfeit your own life in order to uphold the sacredness of human life." The argument of the Lord to Noah is not that capital punishment is a deterrent to crime, although it is that. His argument is capital punishment is necessary for the upholding of God's standard of the value of human life. This is why human life is sacred, because human beings are created in the image of God. And that image, though it is marred and corrupted by sin, was not completely lost at the fall. Men and women after the fall are still image bearers of God. That is what gives us dignity and value. So man is distinct among all the other created things, and that gives him a special place in creation. Namely, as the crown of creation. Thirdly, man created in the image of God means that man shares a likeness and a resemblance to God. What is it that makes man like God? First of all, we can say that the likeness has nothing to do with man's body. It is not physical likeness. God is pure spirit. The image of God in man is not to be found in man's body, but in something else. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Man is essentially a two-part being made of the dust of the ground and the breath of life from God. Man has a material part and an immaterial part. The image of God is not to be found in the material part, in the dust of the ground. The image of God is to be found in the spiritual part, the breath of life from God. That is not to devalue the human body. The body is an essential part of man, but that is not the image of God. The image of God is in the spiritual part, and the body is a vehicle for that. Man is made of the dust of the earth. But at the same time, God breathed into him the breath of life. Part of his being is from the creation. Part of his being is from God directly. So man is in the image of God in that he is endowed with a spirit from God, which is immortal, encased in a body that is made up of the stuff of creation. Man is therefore, first of all, made in the image of God in spirituality. Secondly, man is made in the image of God in personality. Last week, in talking about God creating the heavens and the earth, I said, when God created all the other things that He created, He said, "Let there be," and it was so. "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters," and it was so. "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. "Let the earth sprout vegetation," and it was so. Over and over again, "Let there be," and it was so. But when it comes to make man, God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." This is personal language. "Let us make in our image Our likeness, that is personal language. Us and our are personal pronouns. God is a personal being. What is it that makes someone a person? It is things like self-awareness, intelligence, emotion, and volition, self-determination. Personal beings have the capacity to think and to feel and to act. God is a personal being, and we are personal beings because we are created in His image. Another way we are like God is in rationality. We are rational creatures. We have the ability to reason. There is reason and purpose in the universe because of God. God has intelligence, and He built reason into the universe. Man, because he is created in the image of God, has the ability to think, to reason, to compute, to deduce, and to engage in rational, logical thinking. Man has the ability to think God's thoughts after him. Man is a rational creature. Another component of personhood is emotion. Part of being a human person is the ability to feel. You can do a search on your computer for a list of emotions, and you can find all kinds of lists. One list says there are 10 basic emotions. Another says there are 7. Another says there are 6. Research done by Glasgow University in 2014 determined that all human behavior can be broken down into 4 basic emotions. That research was based on a study of facial expressions. I think there are more than 4 emotions. And you can find a longer list and just look at it and see the differences for yourself. Some common emotions are things like anger, anxiety, bitterness, boredom, comfort, contentment, depression, disdain, disgust, envy, excitement, fear, frustration, grief, happiness, hope, jealousy, joy, loneliness, misery, peace, pride, relief, resentment, sadness, satisfaction, shock, surprise, suspicion, and worry. Some of those may be similar and overlapping, but there are many emotions, and one aspect of personhood is the ability to experience these kinds of things. That is part of being created in the image of God. Another way that we are like God is that we are volitional beings. Volition is the ability to act. Volition, or will, is the faculty of conscious and especially of deliberate action, the power of choosing one's own actions. You could say it is the capacity of self-determination. Human beings, because we are created in the image of God, have the ability to make choices and to act on those choices. That is the exercise of volition. So, personhood is one act, is one aspect of being made in the image of God. Personhood is basically intellect, emotion, and will. A person has the ability to think, to feel, and to act. We are able to do that because we are made in the image of God. Another way that man is created in the image of God is in the fact that we are relational beings. We can communicate and relate to other persons. As persons, we can commune with other persons, build relationships, and share life together. That comes from being created in the image of God. And in particular, I believe it is likeness based upon the inner Trinitarian relationship of the 3 persons of the triune Godhead. Our nature as relational beings stems from the fact that we are created in the image of God. And we can even relate to God. We can have communion with God Himself. Another way that we are created in the image of God is that we are ethical beings. We are moral beings. We are made with the capacity to discern what is right and wrong. We have an inherent sense of oughtness. We have a sense of what ought to be done, what we ought to do. We are moral beings because we are created in the image of God. Finally, we are like God in the fact that God created man to rule. There is a regal capacity in man because God created man to have dominion over the earth. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The image of God has endowed us with the capacity to rule. In fact, we are given the responsibility to rule. Man is endowed with the capacity for and the responsibility of dominion. The two verses surrounding the assertion that God created man in His own image talk about man having dominion. If you wanted to sum up the theme of Genesis chapter 1, it would be God creates and God rules over His creation. As He creates, He rules. He rules the earth. He rules over the sky. He rules over the sea. He rules over the animals. God rules. He gives commands and His commands are executed. That is dominion. And immediately after we're told that man is created in His image, what are the first words? "Let them have dominion." So man is given the capacity for dominion. And that is an aspect of being created in God's image. For our call to worship this morning, we read Psalm 8. And Psalm 8 has reference to this right here in Genesis. Psalm 8 is contemplating the fact that God has given man dominion over the work of His hands. Just take a look at it in your bulletin. The psalmist is saying, when you look at this world around us, it so displays the majesty of God. It's so immense. It's so beautiful. Man is a tiny thing in comparison. Yet, God has given man dominion over the work of His hands. You see what He's doing? He's saying, isn't it amazing that God, in His grace, in Genesis 1, gave us the responsibility to have dominion over all of that? It's amazing, He said. Man has been given the capacity to rule over the earth. God has given man responsibility to rule over the earth. But not for the purpose of irresponsible exploitation. Man is accountable to God for how He rules the earth. We rule not as owners of this world, but as stewards. We are accountable to the owner, and the owner is God. One day we will have to give an account of ourselves to Him. The earth is not here simply for us to use according to our selfish desires, but we are to utilize the earth and rule it in such a way as to bring glory to the one who owns it. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that human beings are spiritual, personal, rational, emotional, volitional, relational, ethical, and regal creatures. May God help us to appreciate that and give Him the glory for being bearers of His own image. Let's pray.